tonight. We'll pick up on 2 Peter. And I see Sister Rhonda here. I got my glasses now. So. And I believe everything went well, surgery. Praise the Lord. Or Sister Rhonda. It's last week we looked at 2 Peter and the idea of Peter's conclusion in his second letter, tied into the very first chapter. Tonight we are going to pick up on 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning on verse 12 through 15. You may stand. We will read 2 Peter 1, 12 to 15. I think I have a signal from upstairs. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. It says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, in verse 15, it says, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So last week we looked at Peter encouraging believers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his letter, on a day-to-day basis, we will have to not only do that with a simple obedience. So tonight we'll pick upon this theme that I believe the scripture also teaches, that it is equally important to be reminded about consequential outcome of these truths in our life. But do we need constant reminder of things we already know? Is there a benefit of that? So tonight we will look at this part of the letter of Peter that encourages us. We will look at the how and the why. And I title this message, but I already know that. Is it profitable? Let's have our word of prayer. Father, may you encourage us tonight through this letter. May you give us wisdom to apply it. And may you also prepare our hearts. Again, may the Holy Spirit speak through me. Give us that the knowledge and illumination that we may apply the truth from your word. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are all too busy people. God, at work or at home. Technology is supposed to change that, right? Technology is supposed to make our life easier, simpler in a way, efficient. I think there's some truth in that. For the most part, there are things that, wow, I wish we had this before. But we get all kinds of reminders. You know, I believe the post-it notes. Start with that. You have those yellow sticky notes. Now you have all kinds of notification, right? You notify this and that. Your phone will beep or ring or bell. Everything that will remind you of things. Emails. How many get emails on a regular basis? I was in a meeting and the director says, we love this working from home. She said, but the emails, she said, I have to go through it almost half a day to get through every day on her email. She said, before I'll just go to the cube and ask somebody and that's it. But it's supposed to make it simple. It's supposed to be reminders, supposed to be calendars and meetings. Important things, of course, to organize our lives, to let us remember important occasions and events. My grandson Liam, he was six years old, right? I don't think he's six, but You know, when you talk to him, it's sometimes he visits and say, okay, we'll remind you, school days, you will only have this so many minutes to watch mom and dad, okay, Lolo and Lola, that's the rule. And so he doesn't like that, right? And so I'll remind him again, and he would say, I already know that, Lolo. And so I will try to remind him again later, you know, when he's in a mood, but then he will say, you said that already. But yesterday was different. It was amazing. I think it was his cuss was with him for a while, but when she left, I was preparing for this and reading and thinking. I was downstairs, so I hear this. I knew he was coming down, so he did. And so he was in the mood to talk. Typically, you got 2 minutes for him, and you know he's running. But this time, he was asking, and I remind him, and I tell him, Mom and Dad, this is, well, today was yesterday, no school day. So he knew he would have extra 30 minutes. And then, as I talked to him, you know, he said this, Lolo, you use too many words. Knowing him, you know, too many words. So, why is that? We'd remind him of things. Well, in Scripture, we are reminded, as Peter said, by the Lord. We know that the only hope of man is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should, or how should we present the truth of the Bible in witnessing, but also in teaching the believers? How and why do we need to be reminded of truths that we have been taught already? I already know that. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 12, Peter said, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. Peter said, I will not neglect my duty to remind you of these things. By the way, you know these already. In verse 13, he said, yea, I think it meet, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And in the last verse, he says, moreover, I will endeavor, I will do everything I could, that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So how and why do we need to be reminded? Things we already know. I think it's the right thing to do. First of all, it's repetition. How we do it? By repetition. Because truth cannot be too clearly known. Truth cannot be too clearly known. There's always something that we can learn from. To know the Lord, to know the Scripture, cannot be too clearly known for us. Repetition here, by the way, does not mean saying the same thing over and over. It doesn't mean that. When Peter said, I will put you in remembrance, I will remind you, repetition here is making the message better every time we present it. It is a clearer explanation or exposition or illustration, or a different angle. So it's not saying the same thing. Lolo, you already said that. When I see a picture, I'm not a photographer, but I know a good picture when I see one. I may not be able to explain all the details, but I could sense a better picture. Now they have a Photoshop. You know, you see a picture, you see the after, you go, I like this better. It's fake, but somehow we like it. It's better, it's clearer. You remember that TV when they're black and white TVs? I tried to Google last night, oh, how many pixels is the black and white TV? They said it's about 60 lines. Well, what do we have now? The best is when we were growing up in the Philippines. You know someone if they have television. The kids are outside. You know, because the house is in the Philippines. Pastor was wrong when he said there are no air conditioning in the Philippines. There are ACs in the Philippines. They're called windows. Right? They're called air continuous AC. Kids are outside looking at someone who has a new TV. It's black and white. But then there's somebody had an idea to put on in front of that screen a plastic, clear plastic with rainbow colors. How many have seen that? So they put it in front, and the kids love that. They see colors now, right? You got red, white, not white, red, yellow. So it makes it better, but it's not color. Then color came, then the projector. You see the projector? You know, you pull it, and then this big 2,000 pounds. And LCD, then LCD came. And like, what? Is this TV this thick? LED, OLED, then HD, Blu-ray. And now you have 4K. And I think they come with 8K. Well, you know, it's getting better, right? I think Captain has a better one, 401K. You can buy all the 8Ks. But what's next? But the idea is, do we see a different movie? It's the same. But the resolution is so much different that you go, oh, I want to watch this one. I already watched it, but I want to see it in a 4K. In a scripture, it's the same message. We're not repeating what we say over and over. It is making the message clearer, making the message more so we could understand it. Peter said, it is important. Peter said, it is the right thing to do. How about John? If you may turn in 1 John, let's take a look at 1 John chapter 2. There are two verses. We'll just look at two verses in 1 John chapter 2. That tells us John has the same idea, that repetition is the way we do it. It's not saying the same thing, but making our message clearer, making our message better every time we present it, and in this case, to clearly know what is the truth. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. It says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And then in verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. So even John presents the truth, not once, but in several occasions, several different ways, you may say, consistent, but the message is consistent. The truth of the message, truth is unchanging. It endures forever. They already know these things, but yet the idea of making that message clearer, it cannot be too clearly known to us. Well, what about Paul? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. So yes, repetition. Like this morning, Pastor Kowak said, you have heard this already, but I'm sure there is a different angle. There are different things that we may know already. But how many times we go, wow, I did not see that. I've been hearing that. I've read that many times, but now there's a different view. It becomes clearer to us. So in 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul said the same thing, basically. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. And here it is. Who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. And I'm sure the Lord Jesus Christ has taught many of these things, repeating the same things in different manner, different ways. Isaiah 62:6 says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Truth is worth repeating. What else? Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. So yes, I already know that. But it is a message that is worth repeating to make it better, to make it clearer, because truth cannot be too clearly known. Secondly, if we go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. So yes, secondly, it's not just repetition, but repetition over time is what we must do, because truth cannot be too firmly believed. It cannot be too firmly believed. It has to be repeated over time. Young kids go to Awana. They hear the message. They grow up. They hear the message. But they hear the message. They might believe that, but there's growth involved. Remember last week, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not repetition. I said it twice, that's it. It is because truth cannot be too firmly believed. We have to do this over periods of time. Repetition over time provides reinforcement of the truth that we know. It's building that foundation from that child, Paul said to Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, okay, that's able to make thee wise unto salvation. Yes, we forget, we are human, or sometimes neglect these principles. When I teach, I always say, tell my student, I hit the same nail with a hammer. With Bible interpretation, why? You repeat the same things different ways. You try to give it a different angle so they remember. So when I teach hermeneutics, one thing that my students will remember is I will always say words do not have meaning. Most words. Only potential meaning. You'll find the meaning in how the word is used in context. Like Tupper here can imitate Pastor Warren, right? Because over time you have, you know, these phrases. Look at me. Up here. And so they will make fun of me. They will say, words do not have meaning, only potential meaning. Well, as someone that is teaching an important principle, you might say, yeah, they got it. Students can make fun of teachers, right? There are teachers here. Their mannerism, favorite phrases. I can't pronounce F. You know, we there are letters we don't have, F or V. Somehow the bottom of our teeth doesn't hit the top lip. We don't have a word for that. But the point is, you see the importance of something, whatever it is, truth in our case, will have to be repeated over time because it cannot be too firmly believed. We will see that from these texts. It can prepare us for the unexpected, the evil day. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The armor of God, our defense to this evil day. It will come. Sometimes it's not evil day, it's evil days. My head is still spinning with deaths in our family. As some of you know, my dad died June last year. So we were there 2019 in December, so I was able to spend time with him. Actually, our main point in going to the Philippines yearly was, you know, because we know this day will happen. And so my wife and I decided in 2013 to go home every year as much as we could. And we were able to until 2020. And so he died June 2020. These truths are able to prepare you for this evil day. And as I said, evil days for us lately. Then my cousin died a few years ago, maybe two. Now his wife died December. He's taking care of her youngest son. They have three sons. The youngest son had an issue doing dialysis, but she slipped, hit her head, died in December. Her son died in January. Then March 4, a few weeks ago, my mom's older sister died. And then a week and a half later, my cousin died last week. So this is able to prepare us for that day. May not be totally, but it gives us that comfort, the message of God's grace. And that message must be repeated over time. How about suffering? Suffering is expected. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. So yes, repetition, that's the way to do it. It's not saying the same thing over and over. But we want the message to be clearer every time. Because truth cannot be too clearly known. And also that truth cannot be too firmly believed. We will have to do this over a long period of time. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 4 says, "For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it come to pass, and ye know." It is important. It is the right thing to do. We are in the last days. It can also manifest to us, those who never knew God or known by God. We cannot take for granted those prophecies. When we look at those prophecies, even here in 2 Peter, in Jude, those prophecies that were given to us, that there are those who are lost in our midst, in a local church body. These are prophecies and warnings about false teachers in the last days. These false teachers will come from among us. So you just think about how important a young person growing up, hearing the gospel, hearing it once, that's not what we do. Peter said, time will eventually tell when those unregenerate within us who they are. So let's go back to 2 Peter. This time let's take a look at chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Peter 22, chapter 2, verse 22. Second Peter chapter 2 verse 22 says, "But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." It is not a picture of a believer, but in this letter is the picture of those who are among us. They were there. They were part of that group. But Peter is warning us, it will come from among you, among us. So yes, we must repeat the message, not saying the same thing. We must make it clearer, because truth cannot be clearly known, too clearly known. It cannot be. We want it to be always clearer, and it will. By God's grace. And also, we cannot be too overconfident. We cannot be too firmly grounded. Firmly believe the scripture as we read them, as we hear them taught here in this church or anywhere else. How about John? John wrote about those who have been in the church but now denying the doctrine of incarnation, that Jesus is the Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 19, he said this, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." We present the truth. We present the truth in season and out of season. There will be times when the message may be popular, and a lot of times it will not. It will be hated. And so 2 Timothy, Paul said in chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, that we heard again this morning, but the truth, the message is the same. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And then verse 3 says, "For the time will" what? "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." When a tree is planted, growth happens, not only upward and outward, but also becomes deeply rooted and grounded. It takes time. Galatians 1, 6 to 7 says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." We cannot be too firmly believing the gospel. Peter himself warned us. He warned us about our weaknesses. Galatians 3, verses 1 to 3 says, "O foolish Galatians," Paul continued, "who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the words of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" So yes, It is not repeating the same words. I already know that. I heard that already. You use too many words. It cannot be too clearly known. It cannot be too firmly believed, because we have the nature, not of angels, but you have a nature that is sinful. Thirdly, let's go back to 2 Peter. There's a last idea, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. And we'll begin with verse 13. 2 Peter 1, verse 13 say, "Yea, I think it meet, I think it's right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance," verse 14, "knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle." Peter here is saying he will soon die. He will soon depart this world. "Even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." And in verse 15, he says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Thirdly, it is a repetition over a lifetime, because truth cannot be too diligently followed. Truth cannot be too diligently followed. As we present the truth, it has to have that idea, like Paul said, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Repetition over a lifetime. We see this because we cannot look at the truth and say, "I already preached that. I already taught that. I already know that." No, because truth cannot be too diligently followed. The goal is for us believers to live up to the truths that were passed down to us and that we have received by His grace. I have a meeting in Houston, and so I've been reminded, you have a class in Houston, Texas. And so I get all these notifications, right? Okay, I got my flight, I got my hotel, my car rental, I'm good to go. I got everything. So the date came, flew from O'Hare, Houston, Texas, and the pilot goes, "There's a storm, we will land in Austin." I said, "Okay, great." So we landed in Austin, I called Houston, and I said, I didn't say we have a problem. I said, "I'm in Austin because of the storm, therefore I'd be late." And so it's answering machine. I think it was lunchtime. So came back, pilot said, "We're ready to go, land in Houston." And when I landed in Houston, it's around 6 p.m. So at that time, I have all kinds of messages again. And so the message goes, "The class was canceled. Were you not notified?" So notification is important. Well, they dropped my name from the email that was supposed to be. I was the instructor, you know. I don't know. And so I flew back to O'Hare. But it is important for us, a reminder. It cannot be said, "I have notified you once. You already know that." No, repetition over a lifetime. Truth cannot be too diligently followed. The goal is not the teacher, but the message. Paul said, "I want you to remember me when I'm gone." He didn't say that. None of them did. That's why he calls the apostles doctrine. Acts 20, verse 17 to 27. I will not read all these, but let me just remind you, in Acts 20, Paul said in verse 20, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house." And then in verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, because Paul is ready to die. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And then in verse 26, Acts chapter 20, he said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Doctrines, the teachings, precede practice. We live what we believe. What Pastor Warren called our maps. We will follow our maps. The question is, do we have the right map? Have we updated that GPS? We need to be aware of our doctrine, and that doctrine is sound and healthy. Be diligent, 2 Timothy 2:15. I'll quote from New King James. Study in King James, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Truth is important to be repeated, because truth cannot be too clearly known. It must be repeated over time, because we cannot be too firmly believing on this doctrine. We must be careful. And again, thirdly, it's over a lifetime. We present the gospel over a lifetime. Our focus is on as long as the Lord has given us breath. Because truth can be preached from the child to an adult, because truth cannot be too diligently followed. Our goal is to live up to the truth. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Do you hear yourself say, I already know that? I've done that already. When you hear the word of truth expounded, it is the right thing to do. When you hear his voice, today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Does the Bible use too many words? Like my Liam will say, I would say yes. Because it is necessary to remind us that God's truth must be clearly known, firmly believed, and ultimately diligently followed. We know this because Jesus told us. Let's close with Matthew 22. We look at verses 36 to 40. Yes, repetition is not saying the same thing over and over. Is making the same message clearer every time. It is repetition over time, because the truth cannot be too firmly believed. We still are sinful in our nature. Again, thirdly, it cannot be taught once, twice, because it cannot be too diligently followed. Bible used too many words. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, Master, he is being tricked here, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Verse 39, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And in verse 40, he says, on these two Remember that? Two. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Does the Bible use too many words? Yes. Because Christ said, you know all these? Two. Commandments of God? Two. Well, how did God repeat the message? From prophets to prophets to the end, when Christ is telling us, without that sin nature, we will know too. Do not have the mindset, I already know that, for now it is the right thing to do. In the end, we will never need any reminder. There won't be too many words in the end. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for your words. Sometimes, Lord, we see these things, we hear these things, we read them, we hear them to a point where we're not really listening to it, we're not really seeing what it's there, but seeing what we want to see. Father, forgive us. May the Holy Spirit continue to illuminate us. Pray that you open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. As Christ said, I believe it will come a time where we will understand all these. Two commandments, not too many words, because our nature will be changed. And in that day, we will all understand. We will all see as you see. Again, we thank you and commit to you this night in Jesus' name.